What's up, y'all? It's JLP, the host of Mastering Singlehood and Relationships podcast, coming to you with this brand new episode. Hope all is well with you and your loved ones. Now, on tonight's episode, we are going to be discussing part one of our brand new series titled Way to the Promise, Journey with God. Now, on last week's episode, we introduced to you the series by just really quickly reading for you Genesis chapter 5, verse 22 and 24. And as a matter of fact, wherever you are, I really want you to go ahead and open your Bible, whether physical or digital, to Genesis chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. We're going to go ahead and read those scriptures once more. And on tonight's episode, in particular for part one of the series, I want us to continue to focus on this biblical character, which is Enoch. And I want us to really pay close attention again to the way that the Word of God is phrasing his character, and as well as utilizing the term faithful or faithfully, right? When it's talking about him walking with the Lord. And so Genesis chapter 5 verse 22, this is what it says. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Let's just go ahead and read verse 23 now. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Verse 24. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Now, I want to go ahead and pause right there. So again, I want to address once more. It's so crucial for you to see this right here, that the Bible itself is repeating to us twice that phrasing right there. Enoch walked faithfully with God. And so this highlights to us the weight of this, right? The weight of the characteristic trait that Enoch had. And what Enoch had was, again, faithfulness, or being a faithful person, being a faithful man. Now, in our culture today, you may see that there's a rise in divorce, there's a rise in fidelity, to a point where a lot of people, they don't believe another human being is even able to have the capacity to be faithful to them. As a matter of fact, I remember there's one time where this lady, she told me one time that she doesn't believe as if, you know, men really have that capacity to be faithful to one woman. She believes that they have what, you know, certain cultures will call it a polygamy point of view. They believe they can have multiple wives and that is acceptable. And now when it comes to scripture, especially when the Bible depicts to us the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, the Bible makes it known to us that we are the bride of Christ. It didn't really classify that Christ Jesus himself had multiple brides. You know, it's not bride with an S at the end. It says we are the bride of Christ. So Jesus himself, he has one bride, which is us, the body of Christ. Those of us who have, again, have given him our lives and see him as Lord and Savior of our lives. And the Bible describes to us, Jesus and even the Father as well, all the persons in the Holy Trinity as being faithful. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, it says to us, even when we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. And so what's so important for me to really bring to your attention again is that the Bible tells us that Enoch walked faithfully with God. And so it didn't necessarily tell us, for example, it didn't omit that term faithfully. Let's go ahead and try to read the scripture without faithfully. Let's see how it sounds. So let's quickly just go ahead and read verse 24 again. Enoch walked with God. Okay? But you see, when we add the term faithfully, which is already written for us in the Word, it says Enoch walked faithfully. So again, you see it brings such a weight to this entire sentence, such a weight to this entire scope of this passage. As I shared last week, you'll see that the individuals that were named before Enoch, right, those who came before him, you will notice that they didn't have that distinction next to their names, right? You don't see where the scripture said, oh, this person walked faithfully with God. This is not to say they didn't believe in God. As a matter of fact, let's quickly pause right here and just go ahead and think about Adam being the first man, being the first human being, right, on the earth. Adam saw God. Okay, the Bible even tells us in the book of Genesis that there were times where God himself, he would descend from heaven and he would again have fellowship with Adam in the garden. He would have fellowship with Adam and Eve as well, his wife, in the garden. And so Adam behold the glory of God. He behold the fullness of God, and he did not die because again, he was perfect in every way. God created him perfect, right? He was without sin. Sin did not enter in until, again, they disobeyed God. But yet, when you see the Bible is talking about Adam, even Adam being the first human being, you don't see him getting that distinction that Enoch got of walking faithfully with God. And so we see again that there is a difference. There is a difference in just merely believing in the existence of God and actually walking with God. And we see, because there is a difference, that also shows us as well, there is a different level of benefits as well one can receive when walking faithfully with God. I want to go ahead and just share this as well, as the Holy Spirit is bringing this to my collection. Again, even Jesus Christ, he says, you know, in a particular scripture, he says, will I find faith on earth, right? So he's talking about when he returns, will he find anyone who has faith, and not just merely anyone who has faith, like believing faith, right? But will he find anyone who is faithful to him, who is faithful to God? My goodness, who is faithful to him, who is faithful to God? One of the things that I love about the Apostle Paul, as we're just talking about this entire, again, this entire theme of this series, Way to the Promise, Journey with God, is that Apostle Paul, he received the revelation of what it means to be content. And the reason why he was able to be content is because, again, he relied upon the faithfulness of God. He understood that God at the end of the day was everything to him. So whether he had plenty or whether he had little, he was satisfied with God alone. And I believe in this context, when we read in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22 and 24, when it comes to Enoch, I believe this is the attitude that Enoch himself had, that no matter what was before him, that God himself was his great delight. I'm going to repeat this again. God himself was his great delight. And let's go ahead and just quickly read the latter portion of verse 24. This is what it says. It says, then he was no more because God took him away. Enoch walked faithfully with God. This was part one of verse 24. And then it says, but then he was no more because God took him away. So this tells us that he was walking so intimately with the Lord, and he himself was enjoying the company of God, that God himself took Enoch away. As we discussed in last week's episode, we made it known to you that being taken away, or him, you know, where the scripture says he was taken away, God took him away, it is not the same as him being deceased. There is no place in scripture where it's recorded that Enoch died. So Enoch is one out of two human beings in the entire human history that never went through death to enter heaven, the other being Elijah. And so when I was really just going about my day, right, and just really just dialoguing with the Holy Spirit concerning the series, you know, he brought to my attention the connection between this right here, the verse 24 that we just read, and as well as when it comes to the book of Psalms, where David, you know, the author of this particular psalm, Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so we see here that Enoch, him walking faithfully with God, tells us that God himself became the desire of Enoch. God himself became the reason why Enoch was filled with, again, with great delight. I'm going to repeat this again. So God himself became the desire of Enoch. God himself became Enoch's great delight. And therefore, because God was able to see what was in the heart of Enoch, and he was able to see that in the heart of Enoch was himself, right, was God, he said, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and give Enoch what will delight his heart, which is being in my presence always and not having any distractions. As you can see, even when you read up to verse 25, it speaks about his son Methuselah, and you'll see that his own son, the Bible knows to us that he ended up dying, right? He ended up having children of his own, and he also ended up dying, but his own father, Enoch, never died. And so God, even in himself, you can see here, he shows you to be a jealous God. The Bible describes to us that God is a jealous God when it comes to us. And so this is so true when it comes to the story of Enoch right there. God was very much so jealous of Enoch, and God really wanted indeed for Enoch to be in his presence 24/7. And this is my desire for each and every one of us. I want us to reach a time in our life where God himself will become our greatest delight. God himself will become the desires of our heart. And I just want to quickly go ahead and pause right here, because I know I've said so much and a little bit of time. And I just want you to take this moment to reflect on what it is that we just addressed concerning Enoch, and the way that, again, he fellowshiped with God and what made him different among the rest. And afterwards, I'm going to go back and just give you some details concerning Enoch, especially when it comes to the meaning of his name. And so what I found interesting, y'all, is that the meaning of the name of Enoch in Hebrew, my goodness, it matches so well with what it is that the scriptures address to us in both Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, and Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. The meaning of Enoch means devoted or dedicated, right? So you can say one that is devoted, one that is dedicated. And you can see here, walking faithfully with God means it is someone who have devoted themselves to the Lord. It is someone who has dedicated themselves to the Lord. It is not someone who compromises their relationship with God. It is not someone who says, you know, today I'll worship the Lord. You know, I'll worship the Lord when he blessed me. But tomorrow, if he doesn't bless me, then I will not worship the Lord. My goodness. And so he was a devoted person. He was a dedicated person, pretty much, right? If the Bible is saying he walked faithfully to God, and his very name means just that, devoted, dedicated, trained even. I'm not sure if some of you are familiar with the God's Love series that I have on my website, JLP Network. And if you're not familiar with it, I strongly just encourage you and recommend you to check it out. You know, the Holy Spirit brought this to my attention, but from a different angle, when it came to me just addressing what it truly means to be in Christ, to abide in him, to remain in him. And that is the same term that was highlighted to me again as well, is that term being devoted, being dedicated, being somebody who's seriously about their Father, about their Lord and Savior, about the Holy Spirit, being someone who is completely sold out to the Lord, who is completely radical to God. And my friends, honestly, this is the way of the promise, or the way to the promise, is being devoted to the Lord. And Enoch is one of the Bible characters that really just sound the alarm to us in our present time, right? And as well as in our current generation of what it means to truly be one who believes in God, who believes in his son, Jesus Christ, who believe that Jesus will return, who believe that indeed that God, he is the supreme being, that God, he has the ultimate power, that God, he has the ultimate authority, and he is worthy of eternal praise. He is worthy of all the worship. He is worthy to receive all the glory. That is truly not about us, but it's all about him. And at the end of the day, one of the things that the Holy Spirit brought to my attention is that life in itself is a journey of going to the giver who holds the keys. I'm going to say this again. Life in itself is a journey of going to the giver who holds the keys. Who is the giver of life? It is God. God is the giver of life. What's so fascinating to me is that God is a giver of life in the sense that, you know, he formed us in our mother's womb and boom, conception happens and you see the baby is growing in the womb and becomes a human soul, right? Becomes a living soul. And this is the sign of life. And from that point on, that person, right, that human starts to grow and develop and is placed in what we call as well life. So life in itself is a journey. You being aware that you have life is that, again, that epiphany that, again, wow, I am here. I'm alive. I exist. I breathe. I talk. I do all of these things. But then you going about the days, right, and the weeks and the months and the years, that is as well as you journeying through life. But what is so important and is crucial for us to understand is that when we are not going to the giver of life, we will never be able to receive the proper keys to be able to receive the blessings that he himself has predestined to be our portion since time itself exists, right? Since the beginning of time. Don't get it confused now. Now, there are certain people who are in the world who are professed atheists. They don't believe God exists, or they believe that they're their own God. They believe they have it all because, again, they have all the money. They have all the fame. They have all the connections. They have, you know, they have all of the materialistic type of blessings. And so they feel that they're all good. They're all set. But the truth of the matter is these type of individuals, they still lack true wealth. And that true wealth, again, is knowing the Lord, is knowing who you are in him, and is you understanding as well that the whole point of you being here on planet Earth is because, in fact, God placed you here to bring him and him alone glory. And so many people, they go to and fro throughout their life, trying to find satisfaction again in all of the wrong places. And they don't stop to, again, question. Some people, I feel like they don't even stop to question, you know, where did I come from? Why am I here? Who made me? You know, yes, we came from our mother's womb, but at the end of the day, our mothers didn't make us. I understand. We just celebrated Mother's Day and we are grateful for our parents, right? We are grateful for our mothers. But at the end of the day, your mother was only a vessel. God is the one who made you. And it's up to every human being to be able to humble themselves enough to seek the giver of life himself, to seek the creator in order to truly attain the inheritance that he had for them since the beginning of time itself. And many of you, again, as I've mentioned, I believe that you have been waiting on a promise from God that you know that you know that you know that came from God, that God himself has hinted to you, has confirmed to you, and has confirmed as well through others that, in fact, that is a promise from God to you. And I just want to go ahead and pause here as well, because I feel that at times people tend to oversaturate the true reason for the promise to the point where they believe that the promise in itself is for self-gratification. But the promise in itself was never for self-gratification. The promise in itself is for us to, again, behold the grand joys of God, meaning behold his glory. Behold that, in fact, he is real. That's one of the things that will be revealed to you as you are walking with God, is because of the fact that the promise point to you that God is real. There are certain things that God reveals to you as you are waiting for the promise come to pass, that he brings to your attention, that he brings to your awareness, that shows you, my goodness, there's no way I would be able to know this information. There's no way that I would be at this right place at this exact time and meet this exact person to tell me of something that I've just discussed to God myself in prayer if God was not real. My goodness. And so I really want us to understand that, again, the promise and as well as the journey has more to do with God and us being aware of his existence, and as well as us being aware that he is not a makeup concept, but God is real, and that God is truly the reason that we have life in itself. My goodness. God is truly is the reason that we have life in itself. At times, I believe that humanity can become so prideful because, again, we have been given intelligence. We are able to create. For example, you see left and right, people are talking about AI this, AI that. But it's just so weird to me how people actually believe that they have the intelligence on their own, as if it was their own doing to be able to come up with this concept. No. We are not that brilliant. We are not that wise. It is all God's doing. God is the one that has given us the brain. God is the one that has given us the mind. We are not the one that tells our brain, hey, brain, do this. Hey, brain, do that. It was already pre-programmed by God himself. Now, all we had to do, again, is doing the walking mode, meaning taking the action to intake information. But it is the brain itself that helps us to analyze the information. My goodness. I truly pray in the mighty name of Jesus, you're catching what it is that I'm sharing by the grace of God. And so I really wanted to go ahead and just share with you this information as we, again, are talking about the way to the promise, journey with God. I want you to understand truly, when you are walking with God, it is impossible for you to miss his promises. I'm gonna say this again. When you are walking with God, it is impossible to miss his promises. But so often, then we would like to admit, we get so carried away looking at the promise that we neglect looking at Jesus himself, who is the finisher, right? The author and the finisher of not just our faith, but our very life. And he is the one that created all the blessings as well that we are awaiting. Amen. And so sometimes we have to truly have that self-talk and remind ourselves, hey, it's not about me, you know, and saying that it's not about you is not self-condemning yourself, is not seeing your value or worth as a person, but is you recognizing that all that you are is because of God. All that you are is because of God, you know? And you even, you know, you even, like, again, being here, that is a miracle. You know, you didn't ask to be here. God chose you to be here. That is a miracle. That is such a blessing. And that in itself, it's enough for us to praise God, and it's enough as well for us to believe that nothing is impossible with God. Your very life is a testament that God, he is who he says that he is. Your very life to you as well should be the reminder that God is faithful to provide for you, because, again, he made you. He made you. You see, when we hear of Jehovah, Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, sometimes we are just so focused on him providing for us, again, you know, the basic necessities, or providing, again, to us healing and so forth, which is true. But we forget that it's because, in fact, he created us. He created us. So of course, it is God's duty to provide for us. Now, this is not to say for us, again, to just, you know, ignore giving God glory and honor, ignore seeking him because we feel entitled. Oh, my goodness, because it is God's duty. You know, he's going to provide for me. I don't have to seek him. No. And this is what is key here, again, when it comes to Enoch. The Bible says Enoch walked faithfully with God. It didn't stop by saying he just walked with God, but he walked faithfully with God. And so Enoch wasn't, you know, just saying, oh, because, you know, God made me, then he's going to go ahead and spoil me and bless me left and right. But he said, no, I want to walk with my creator. I want to behold him. I want to know his nature. I want to fellowship with him. I want to please him. Amen. I want to build partnership and friendship with him. Amen. My goodness. And so that is all for tonight, y'all. I pray that you were greatly blessed and encouraged by part one of this series. I'm excited to go ahead and continue to unfold the different parts of the series. Until next time, y'all, remember, all things are possible with Christ Jesus. This was your sister in Christ, JLP. Peace out. Take care.